If you have your Bibles, why don't you open with me to two places, 1 Peter chapter 4 and John chapter 21. We're going to start in John 21, so if you got a finger to put to use or a bookmark, stick it in 1 Peter 4, and we're going to start in the Gospel of John. A few things we're doing this morning. We're coming back to our vision series. We've had a couple weeks away with Easter and then Pastor Jiva, who was here a couple weeks ago. So we're finishing off our visions and values series. We've been talking about our vision, our church vision, for the last couple months. What are we called to do? We believe we're called to prepare people for eternity, that we should be looking at our eternal place after this life, and that if we live with that perspective, it will shape how we live in this life. And then we've been walking through four different values that we want to celebrate as a church. And so today we're talking about that final value. If you don't have one of those cards, you can get it on the way out. So we're continuing in that. We're also stepping out of what last week was, which was Resurrection Sunday. And so we're continuing. We were in John 20. We're going to go John 21. But wasn't last weekend an amazing weekend? As we gathered together, we had, between the Kingdom Dancers, I don't know how many girls were up here doing the Kingdom Dancers performance. We had 9 water baptisms last week, which was such a joy. And there were so many people here in the 9 o'clock service that I must confess, in between services, I had a worried thought. Have any of you ever had a worried thought before? I thought to myself, who's coming to the 11 o'clock service? And then even more people came to the 11 o'clock service. We had 481 people here between both of our services on Sunday. And for context, last Easter was 275. So that's called growth. I don't know how you're good at math. That's called growth. And what we celebrate is not large numbers, but numbers are people, and people matter to the heart of God. And so it's not about the size, it's about the people. And we celebrate the fact that God is drawing people to be saved and baptized in water and filled with the Spirit and delivered and set free and on and on and on. Amen? So exciting days we're in. So here's our value statement for this morning. Here it is. Compassionately serving others. Compassionately serving others. Others. How many of you get fired up about the thought of serving somebody else? Right? A few of you in the room, right? A few of you. No, honestly, there are people that you just like, you wake up in the morning and you're like, who can I bless? Who can I help? There are people that have this fire within them to serve others. And then there's the rest of us who still need some help, right? There's the right way. We're still, some of us more naturally, but I think that most of us in the room, We could stand for an extra dose of compassion and a stirring up of our faith to be reminded that your life isn't about you. Your life is about others. And Jesus says this in Mark 10:24, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let's just marinate in that for a moment. Jesus, speaking about himself, he said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Now, in case you've forgotten, let me tell you, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He alone is worthy of all worship and all honor and all praise and all glory for all of eternity. Everybody with me? He is worthy of our worship throughout our daily lives here on the earth and into eternity. He is worthy of our praise, and yet he did not come to get our praise. I don't know what that does to you, but that does something on the inside of me. That the only one who's worthy of my praise didn't come to get it. He came to serve me. And so if Jesus is our example, and yes, Jesus is our example, then we ought to live our lives marked by compassionately serving others. Somebody say, Jesus is my example. His life is what we are to model our lives after. And if you struggle being motivated to serve, then this morning we're going to stretch and grow together. We're going to talk about compassionately serving others, but we're going to start here in John 21. So last week, Resurrection Sunday, we were in John 20, talking about Jesus having appeared to his disciples, having appeared to Mary and to some of the ladies and to Thomas, who I said, we got to rewrite Thomas's legacy. We're not calling him Doubting Thomas anymore. We're going to call him that guy Thomas who once had a doubt. All right, we got to redeem Thomas's legacy here. Yes, he doubted, but that's not how his story ended. Here we work our way into John 21, and what we find is a familiar scene. Jesus, as his disciples are out on the water, and they're fishing. So if you remember, this is how things kind of started with some of the disciples. Some of the disciples were fishing, and Jesus calls out to them, why don't you let down your nets on the other side of the boat? They weren't catching any fish over there. This is exactly what happened when he first called the disciples, some of them. Cast them on the other side, and they get this huge haul of fish. John tells us there was 153 fish. I just love that somebody counted the fish one by one. 153 fish. And this I'll throw in just for free. This I find interesting. The net you'll find in John 21 that they catch these fish with doesn't break. Now, the first time Jesus tells them to let the net down on the other side for a catch, the net breaks. With those two exceptions, the story is identical. I would like to propose to you that there's something significant in that. That after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is an anointing and a strength that means that your nets won't break as the Lord brings you into his plans. That's for free. That has nothing to do with my sermon this morning. I find these things interesting. And so they eat breakfast with Jesus by the beach, and then we're going to focus in on these this interaction that Jesus has with Peter. So let's read John 21, 15-17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, if you've read the Bible for yourself, or maybe you've heard this passage read, you know the story. If you're hearing this for the first time, you're thinking, this is a very odd conversation to have. Jesus asks the question, Peter answers the question, Jesus asks the question again, Peter answers the question again. Like, what is going on here with the threefold question? I want to unpack a couple reasons here. There's a few others that I won't get into, but let me give you a few thoughts. So Jesus asks Peter if he loves him more than these. Did you notice that? That's the end of the phrase of the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, honestly, we don't know what Jesus was referring to. You might think you know. The scholars argue about it. What was the these that Jesus was referring to? We don't know. It could have been the fish. They had just eaten the fish, caught all these fish. Wouldn't that be a real relevant question? Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than food? Do you love me more than your natural provision? Do you love me more than your job?" Remember, Peter was a fisherman before following Jesus. "Do you love me more than your old lifestyle?" I believe that could be a question that we could meditate on for ourselves. Or when he says, "Simon, just son of John, do you love me more than these?" he could have been referring to the disciples, right? This is a side conversation that Peter's having. Maybe he was asking, "Do you love me more than you love them?" That could be a relevant question for us today. "Do you love me?" Jesus would ask, more than your family, more than your spouse, more than your children, more than your closest friends. We don't know what Jesus was specifically asking, but here's what I believe. I believe that Peter knew what Jesus was asking. We might not get all the details as a reader of Scripture, but Peter knew what Jesus was asking, and Peter says in response, "Lord, you know that I love you." Here's the pattern. Do you love me? I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. And here's the call. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love Jesus? Feed my sheep. This is the call that that the Lord has placed upon Peter. Now, who are Jesus's sheep? You're all thinking the right answer. I got it. Don't worry. His sheep are his people, his followers, right? So Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Okay, you love me. Then take care of my people. This is the call that's given to, I believe, not just Peter. I believe this is a word for the church at large. If you love Jesus, you are called to take care of Jesus' followers. If you love Jesus, you are called to compassionately serve one another. You know that the scripture actually says that we are told to be able to be recognized as followers of Jesus Christ based on our love for one another. That's the mark. That we would be known not by our great theology, but by how much we love one another. That love towards Jesus should lead to a natural fruit hanging on the tree of our lives of compassionately serving others. I believe Christians ought to be the most charitable, the most gracious, the most giving, the most service-oriented, hospitality-minded people on planet Earth. Everybody with me? By leaps and bounds, our hearts should be service-oriented. And you'd say, well, why is that? It's because Christians are really hard workers, and we've got good work ethic, and we're interested in results, and we want fruit hanging on the tree. No, it's because Jesus loves us. And I believe that if you live your life with a revelation of how much Jesus loves you, you will serve other people. That when you live your life with an awareness of how much Jesus loves you, you will lead your life towards the service of others. And I believe this is a call upon us today. Now, of course, our serving of others must extend to all people. We are to serve our community. We are to serve those around us, those who are far from God. We are to be so driven to serve those who are far from God so that they can see the goodness of God in their life. Amen? We should be absolutely driven towards serving those who are far from God. But I want to just bring this to some focus this morning, that the scripture always calls us to first serve one another. Galatians 6:10 says this, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? Everyone, young, old, male, female, those who are close to God and far from God. We are supposed to do good to everyone, but then he says this, and especially those who are of the household of faith. So our hospitality and our kindness and our willingness to serve, of course it should extend to everyone. That's preaching the gospel. That's evangelism. That's outreach. That's what we do as the church. But there is a priority in scripture upon your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If I could just draw a parallel for you, let me say it like this. If you have a literal brother or sister in your life, you should take care of your actual brother and sister before you take care of somebody else's brother or sister. Everybody with me? So this does not negate the service of others. What I'm doing this morning is I'm highlighting the call. Jesus said this. I didn't write the Bible. Jesus said this. Feed my sheep. That's followers of Jesus Christ. So here's the point. If you love Jesus, you'll serve one another. One more thing I want to draw out of this threefold interaction that we have here is Peter's denial of Christ. When Peter denied him, he denied him not once, not twice, but three times. If you remember the story, Jesus is preparing the disciples for the fact that he's going to leave. He says, where I'm going, you can't come. Peter, in his passionate personal self, says, no, I want to come with you. I'll die if that means that I'll follow you. I'll follow you everywhere that you go. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're actually going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And sure enough, Peter does just that. He denies the Lord. You see, sometimes we think we have more faith than we do in reality. Sometimes we think that we'll be more faithful, and then the pressure comes, and we realize where we're really at How many of you know it's easy to be frugal if you don't have any money? Some of you will get that later. You're trying to figure that out. It's easy to cast your cares and anxieties on him when you don't have a care in the world. It's easy. You'll just cast your cares on him. Well, everything's good in my life, but you should just cast your cares on him. It's easy to tell people what to do, but when the pressure comes, that's when life gets hard. And that's when we see our own faithfulness. And Peter was convinced with all of his heart, I will take a bullet for Jesus. And in fact, he wasn't as strong as he thought. He denied him 3 times. So here we come to this conversation here, and I believe this is a great moment of restoration in Simon Peter's life. That just as he had denied Christ 3 times, Jesus gave him 3 opportunities to be restored in relationship to him. Isn't God good? Let me tell you this about God. He is always looking for opportunities to restore you from your brokenness and sin. God is always looking for opportunities to restore you from your brokenness and your sin. His grace is always stronger than your sin. His love is always more powerful than your rebellion. So here was Jesus' command to Peter. I believe this is Jesus' command to you and me today. If you love Jesus, you must serve one another. Now, we're going to fast forward to Peter's own letter to the church. So turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. We read about Jesus and Peter post-resurrection, John 21. Now we're going to fast forward to Peter's own letter to the early church. This is not young believing Peter. This is not Peter as a man early in his faith journey. This is Peter as the great apostle and prophet and pastor in the early local church. Some even call him Pope. We don't, but some do. Did everybody understand what I just said? It was a whole lot of silence in that moment there. So the Catholic Church believes that Peter was the original Pope. Okay, anyways, we won't get into that. 1 Peter 4, let's start in verse 7. How's this for a dramatic entrance? The end of all things is at hand. Isn't that a good start to a book? Does Peter have your attention? This sounds a whole lot like our vision statement, doesn't it? Preparing people for eternity. The end of all things. What is all things? All means all. The end of all of the things that you have known in this life, on this earth, are coming to an end. There is a day, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming back to take us home. Our bridegroom is going to come back for his bride, and we are going to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we are going to worship our great God for all of eternity. That's what's coming. Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Let's keep reading. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this is the passage that we have placed with this value statement of compassionately serving others. And here's what Peter says. In light of the fact that all things are coming to an end, in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, here's how we should orient our lives. Love one another. I don't know about you, but I find that fascinating. In light of the fact that Jesus is coming soon, he doesn't say pack your bags. You could bring 5 things with you. 1 carry-on. Free. No charge. In light of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, he gives no other pieces of advice here. Here's what it is. Above all, above everything else, keep loving and serving one another. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach back, sister. Let me say this to you, church. Whatever you have, you are called by the Lord to use it to serve others. If you have a position of influence, use your position of influence to serve others. If you have a house, use your house to serve others. If you have a voice, anybody in the room have a voice? We find some common ground there. If you have a voice, use your voice, Peter says, to serve others and bless others. As the Lord blesses you financially, use your finances to serve and meet the needs of others. You say, but Pastor Tim, I worked hard for my money. I earned my money. I worked for that. Oh, did you now? Come sit in my office for a moment, will you? How is it that you received that hard work ethic to work for all of that money? You know who gave that to you? The Lord did, didn't he? Ladies and gentlemen, you own nothing. It's all a gift from God. Everything that you have is a gift. You say, I worked hard for it. Yeah, wasn't God good to you? I built a big business. Wasn't God good to you? It's all from God. Life is not ownership, it's stewardship. You don't own anything. You belong to him. Proverbs 3:17 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. If you have a house, you ought to be opening your home to other people to serve and bless them. Now, I'm not saying you have to let somebody move in with you. Okay? However, let me say this. If you have a home, and the only person who benefits from your home are the people who live in your home, you are not stewarding your home to the glory of God. I thought I'd get one amen on that. I got none. Everybody just say, ouch. Serve others, Peter says. Verse 9, let me read verse 9 again. 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. How many of you qualified for the first half of the verse, but not the second? Don't raise your hands. Don't complain when your dinner guests leave the house. Can't believe what kind of a mess they made. And can you believe? And did you see what they brought? And did you see what they wore? And they didn't take their shoes off and leave them in the front hall. Come on, without the complaining, whatever you do, Scripture says, do it as unto the Lord. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for Jesus. Jesus says, when you feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the lonely, that you're doing it to me. When you serve people, you're serving Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have a home. You know, I'm in an apartment or I'm renting a room or whatever. Okay, here's the common ground. Let's come back to speech. Verse 11, whoever speaks, how many of you know how to wag your tongue and lips around? Show of hands. We'll pray for the rest of you later. If you know how to wag your lips and tongue around, do it to the glory of God. Whoever speaks, whatever you say, I love this, speak as one who speaks oracles of God. What is an oracle? It is a divine, supernatural word from the Lord. What's Peter saying? When you speak to people, speak with the understanding that you may be prophesying to them. That'll change the way that we talk, won't it? Speak as if you... See, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Do you have any idea how powerful your words are? And we just open the flapper and start flapping. But we need to speak unto the glory of God. Did you know you can come into a place like this and not just get excited to hear a word, but you can be used of the Lord to give a word? Say, Pastor, I'm just here for the word. I love your preaching. I want to come and I want to hear what you have to say. I came here to get a word. Well, can I encourage you next week? Come back to give a word. Spend a moment preparing your heart before you come here and say, Lord, is there a word that you want me to release to somebody in my life? There may be somebody sitting beside you who's overwhelmed with stress and strife and trauma and drama, and you may get a word from the Lord for them. How exciting is that? I remember being in a service about 6 months ago, and someone came up to me as worship was going on and just put their hand on my shoulder. And they said, I just sense the Lord wanting me to say this to you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So I don't know why, but I just think that's what he spoke to Joshua, right? Now this gentleman had no idea what I was preaching on 5-6 months ago was the life of Moses working through the book of Exodus. I don't remember anything about the sermon that was preached in that service, but I remember that word. I remember that word. When you speak, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Now, if you're struggling to serve others, Here's the good news. I believe I have the solution. How many of you know God's word always has the solution? Now, as a preacher, there's always a temptation to make a big deal about something just because it's the present sermon being preached. I understand that. Every week, this is the most important sermon in the world, right? And that's good because that means there's passion and excitement on behalf of the preacher or whoever's speaking. So I'm going to try and hold back the temptation to say, this is the most important thing you'll ever hear. But let's just read this. We're reading it again. Verse 8 of 1 Peter 4. Above everything else that Peter could prioritize, above everything else that he could call us to do in light of the soon return of Jesus Christ to come and take us home, in light of all of that, above all other things that I could tell you to do, here's what I'm going to tell you to do, Peter says. Love one another. Serve one another. Keep on loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus says that the law and the prophets are all summarized in this: love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we will become a people who live by love, we will obey God's word by accident. How many of you love accidental obedience? Isn't that just the best? We go, I just obeyed. Just because I didn't even have to try. It just happened. Jesus says, if you will live by love, you will obey God's word. It's all about love, church. It's all about love. 1 Corinthians 13, let me just read this to you. If I speak in the tongue of men or angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to move mountains but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, if I have not love, I gain nothing. Let me say this, church. All service without love means nothing. If you serve people and you don't have a genuine love for the people that you serve, then you're just interested in self-promotion and accolades. Is everybody watching what I'm doing right now? Look at me. Did you hear how much money I gave? Did you see what I just did over there? Serving others without love is void of all meaning. And there's a lot of, I tend to think about this when I encounter companies raising funds for things that don't make sense. Let me give you an example. I was in a store the other day, the store will remain nameless. And you know how everybody's raising money for something? Everywhere you go, can you give $2 to this, $5 to that, tap here, give there. So there's a little sign by the checkout. And it said, would you like to donate? Let me read so I don't mix this up. Would you like to donate to the Equity and Inclusion and Advancement Fund? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I said, what is that? Well, it's looking to provide marginalized communities with inclusion and equity and advancement. It's kind of like Jesus and Peter. Okay, I'm going to ask that question again because I don't think that I understood the answer. Okay, now those who started this might have had great motives. I'm not trying to judge their motives, but to me, it felt like service without love. We're trying to raise funds for something. We have no genuine love attached to it, but we sure would like to create a 100-foot banner and put it outside of our store saying we raised $1 million for something. Service without love. Here's what we need. We need love. Because without it, it's a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. The drumming this morning was beautiful. Colin, well done. Good and faithful servant. Love the drumming this morning. They didn't even know what I'm going to say next, and you're just like, we're going to applaud this guy. But take this, the cymbals out of the musical, the beauty of the musical arrangement, and just smash a cymbal continually. Just bow, bow. How many of you would agree? Incredibly annoying. That's service without love. Service without love. What we need is love. Let me say this. Selfless love leads to the joyful use of spiritual gifts. There's some people I know in the church today, they're hungry for spiritual gifts. They're hungry to be used by God. Can I encourage you, the starting place is love. The starting place is love. You cannot love and not serve. You cannot love and not prioritize others. You cannot love and withhold good from others. Love always requires action. It's a verb. And if you're struggling to serve, you just don't just assume that you need to try harder. Well, pastor says that we should serve, so you know, I'm just gonna try harder. I'm just gonna do more. Not the point of the message. Start by fanning into flame the love that is required to serve. Above all, what does Peter say? Keep loving others. Then you start serving them. But it starts with love. Here's what Peter says. Keep loving others. Why? Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this is not only a reference to the power of the gospel through Jesus, that through the love of God demonstrated in the cross, all of our sins are covered and washed away. But this is actually a call to say that when you love others, you cover their sins. This is mighty powerful. When you love someone who has sinned against you, you are in that moment pushing and washing and covering their sins. You are saying, I refuse to hold your sin against you, and I'm going to love you and serve you anyways. Folks, there's nothing more beautiful than loving someone who's hurt you. Here's the root issue. It's love. If serving others is the fruit that hangs on the tree of our lives, then the root has to be love. Here's what we need to do. Stop judging others for their struggles. Stop judging others as to why they're alone or why they're depressed or why they're struggling or why they're divorced or why they declared bankruptcy or why they're not further ahead in life. Stop judging one another. And here's what we're going to start doing instead. Ready? Start loving. Start loving. Get rid of a critical, judgmental spirit. The devil does this all day long. I'm convinced this is his full-time job as judging people. It's all he does. I found your fault. I found your fault. I found your fault. I found your issue. I found your struggle. That's what the devil does all day long. Is he calls out our sinful tendencies and struggles and failures. And you know, he's always looking to recruit people to join his team. And sometimes I think he's recruited one too many Christians. Come on, don't raise your hand. How many of you know some Christians who are a little bit judgy? Don't nudge the person beside you. Just drink it in. Drink it in. Well, I'll just try hard, Pastor. I'll just try to love more. No, I've got great news. I've got the very best news that I could ever give you this morning. I've been so excited all morning to tell you this. If you have given Jesus your life, if you've invited him into your life, if you've been born again, then the love that you need is already inside of you. Here's what Romans 5:5 says. God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Oh, Pastor, I think I just got to get more love, and I got to increase my love, and I got to work harder to love people. No, all the love that you need has already been placed inside you by the precious Holy Spirit of God. He's already given it to you. This means I'm not telling you to go and conjure up some man-made love, some fleshly-driven kind of love. I'm not saying try harder. I would be setting you up for failure if all I said this morning was, church, just try harder to love others. Try harder to forgive. That is not a gospel message. You know what a gospel message is? Jesus has enabled you to love one another. Jesus has enabled you to forgive one another. It's not about try harder. It's about let the Holy Spirit do what he does in your heart and love those around you. You have the love of God inside of you. And some of you are struggling right now. I know it. Some of you are wondering how you can love your husband, you love your wife after what they've done. You're wrestling right now with how to walk out forgiveness from hurt. Some of you are wondering how you can love those in your family who have hurt you. How can you can love those in your church who have hurt you? And God bless you. You have the maturity to be here. But you're still here if you've been hurt by those in the church or in this church. So you're still here. God bless you. You say, Pastor Tim, it's not that hard. I just come to the 11 o'clock service. They go to the 9 o'clock service. You make things so easy for us. So here's what you're going to do if that's you. You're going to go back to the 9 o'clock service. I was joking, now I'm serious, right? See how I did that right there? And we're going to get some healing and reconciliation. Come on, I've got faith in my heart that Jesus wants this to be a healthy, 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 healthy church. Where we love one another warts and all. If you're struggling to love others, may I suggest to you that you're struggling because you're trying to love them in your own strength and not in the strength that the Lord gives you. Stop trying. Stop laboring. Come on, I opened the service this morning with Jesus' invitation. Come to me, all of you who have heavy burdens. I will give you rest. And let him do what only he can do in you. I want to tell you one more story. It was in the same service that I was in when someone had this word for me, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I was in the service, and I thought about somebody. Somebody came into my mind, and they're not a close friend of mine. They're not an enemy of mine. There's someone in my life who I respect and appreciate. I had neither positive nor negative emotions in my mind at that moment. I just thought, Lord, what are you making me think about this person for? And in that moment, my heart melted for them. And I started weeping. I felt the love of God towards that person like I've never experienced before. Folks, I believe that it will change everything if you will welcome the love of God to change your heart towards others. That you will see them not just as some person in your church, some person in your sphere of influence, but somebody whom God loves and Jesus died for them. And so I want us to pray. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I want to take a couple of moments here and just pray together that the Lord would with a fresh, real sense pour out his love into our hearts and do some healing work in this moment. So would you just make yourself available to the Lord? Just close your eyes, raise your hands, put yourself in some kind of a posture to just help yourself receive from the Lord. God, in this place right now, I thank you for your love for every person in this room. And Lord, I just declare and decree Romans 5:5 over this place that the love of God has been poured out, has been shed into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that we have the ability, not in our strength, but in your godly strength, to walk in love towards others. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that there is no pain, there is no trauma, there is no loss in our lives that is weaker or inferior to the power of your love. So all across this room today, I pray that you, in a fresh way, would pour out your love. That, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would so fill us with love towards others that, God, it's like we would be putting on heavenly glasses, that as we see the people that are before us and around us, Lord, as we go home or as we go to work this week or as we go into school, as we head into that class or take that exam, Lord God, that we would see people with heaven's eyes. Lord, that our heart would be for others, not because we heard a sermon and so we want to follow through on the sermon notes, but because the love of God has changed us. So Spirit of God, I pray, grab our hearts right now. Make us aware of how much you love the lost. You love the lonely. You love those who are hurting. You love those who are confused. You love our family. You love our children and our grandchildren, God. You love our neighbors. You love that coworker that you put an art into our life and they don't know you, but Lord God, you love them and you want them to know you. Give us a heart to see them with your eyes. Pour out heaven's love in our hearts today. Change our hearts, God. You've already given us your love. Help us to walk in that. Help us to walk in that. And I resist any felt need in this room to take this as a heavy burden. No, no. Jesus' burden is light. His call to love others is light. Church, let me tell you this. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's easy. It's easy to love others. It's easy because he's going to help you. Lord, fill us with your love, I pray today, for all those around us. And God, I pray that you give us an opportunity this week. Lord, I believe every word that we hear, you give us an opportunity. Give us an opportunity to demonstrate love. God, make us kind. Make us gentle. Make us compassionate, God. Break off bitterness. Break off criticism, a critical spirit. I cast you out in Jesus' name. You cannot stay. And we invite Spirit of love, the Spirit of Jesus, to come. God, I pray that we would find ourselves thinking new thoughts towards others. Lord, that we would find ourselves surprised at our own thoughts, because, Lord, I believe you're changing us today. Lord, if we're going to change Niagara, if we're going to change the world, we need your love. We need your love, not programs, not church services. We need your love. So God, help us to above all keep loving others, to cover a multitude of sins. That Lord, just as we read this morning, that in everything that we do, you would be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name today. Amen.